Did you think you were going to the stars today? Well, fuck you, Strange New Worlds lover.
Oh, no. Captain's Pod, Stardate 8306-23.1. Welcome aboard the Starship's Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave from the world of CinemaSins to explore the universe of Star Trek. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always, she's been genetically modified to hate courtroom dramas. It's Ambassador Danae.
I object.
My next thing was going to be, and he objects, but I changed it.
Amazing.
And he failed to appear in Space Court. It's Commodore Dicer.
Look, they're not my tickets. They weren't mine. I don't know why my Federation ship's license plate is on the ticket. It wasn't
Federation.
Me.
It'd be a Starfleet ship, Aaron.
Listen,
that's like saying you have an American license. You have a Missouri
I don't understand.
License.
I don't understand. It's not like I'm part of the Empire.
No, stop it. Stop. Right, this is why you're in court. Actually, it's blasphemy.
I was a little nervous about all the Star Wars references that Aaron would bring to the show, but watching him break your brain is one of my favorite things.
I short circuit. So, I'm like, where's my transition? That switch. No. Amazing. Okay. Well, before we get into this week's episode and do some sinning and whatnot, we need to resolve a couple of things from last week. Most importantly, because Aaron was not here.
It's true.
We had a tumultuous episode last week where
yeah,
we covered episode 2, Strange New Worlds, unsurprisingly. Danae
Why
didn't
was it tumultuous?
Because Danae didn't have the best time, and I did. And it was a tricky episode for Danae to get through, understandably.
I may have threatened to stop watching Star Trek forever.
Entirely. Like, no more Strange New Worlds. It's amazing. Rough start was episode 1 and episode 2. However, I theoried that Aaron would like premise of this episode, but not like the execution. And Danae posited that Aaron would love it because it's all theory talking. So, Aaron, what did you think of last week's episode? Who wins?
Ian, you are correct about what I might think. Danae, you are correct about the episode, as far as I am concerned. Look, I debated...
We can't both win.
I debated back and forth how, like, whether I should tell you
in
just,
a courtroom drama.
In a courtroom
you
drama,
debated? That's
I debated.
So weird.
Did you have a last minute twist at the end where you pulled out some legal jargon to win?
I honestly debated if I should come to you, Ian, and say, "Don't ask me what I thought about the show." That's how
really?
I think episode 2 is. I think it's a terrible episode.
I was right.
Yeah. Yes, you were. You're right about.
Yes. I mean, no, that's horrible. No.
I don't think Danae went hard enough on it. I think it's really really
back.
Bad. It's really
listen.
Bad.
I held back because I fear the fans.
No, I'm blind. I'm blind. I am clearly I'm Trek blind.
I'm not. I'm not really afraid of the fans. Everybody's been so understanding about everything.
Well, Ian, I think you're in the majority. I think Danae and I are in the minority on. If I'm reading the internet correctly, I think
no,
Danae and I are in the
right.
minority on this one. So.
It has a really high rating on IMDb as well. But the comments, like we've had some replies on Twitter saying they absolutely get where you're coming from Danae.
I
know, and that's so nice of you guys to like write in and give me some reassurance.
I was yelling at you, Ian, while listening to the podcast, which I know some
yes.
people do, but like. Anytime you would say, like, there was one time you were like, you know, Aaron loves courtroom dramas. And I'm like yelling back, yeah, I like good courtroom dramas. This is a terrible courtroom drama.
Well, genuinely, that's where my own argument started to fall apart because I was like, I don't think Aaron would enjoy this, which made me dig into, okay, what's wrong with it then? Because I am clearly Trek blind.
At some point, like there was mention that it's philosophical, and I was like, I have to write this down while it's fresh, and like the hate is fresh in my mind.
Oh,
but
no.
I wrote, this is a second-rate, surface-level, pedantic choir preaching exercise with a resolution that is completely unrelated to the point it thinks it's making, and that is what it all comes
shit.
Down.
to oh shit! For we me. Need to sin this episode because you've written half the script.
Yeah, it just it doesn't do what it thinks it's doing, and it does it in a just
does
a really
not?
No.
What do you think it thinks it's doing?
I think it thinks it's making.
Are we fucking talking about this episode again?
This is why I didn't want to bring it up.
People want to know what you think, and I think it's important that we do this. I'm just going to go ahead and set a little timer.
That's fair enough. I think it thinks it's gone off. I think it thinks it's missed. All right, moving on.
We're done. There we go.
I'm sorry. I'm being a butt. Go on.
I think the episode thinks it's making this grand point about inclusion, and it absolutely is not. It's because every point it's making about inclusion is undermined by the plot in the structure of the courtroom drama. Like, there's nothing. Some of the speeches like touch on the very, very surface level. Like, we have seen so many amazing, wonderful pieces of media that have talked about this in the last few years and have done this so well. And this barely scratches the surface of the topic itself. There's nothing to think about after this episode. You just go, yay, you're for inclusion. Like, there's nothing to actually like ground into and process. It's all just very, very surface level. So, and then I think that the most salient point is that the entire end of the courtroom drama is completely unrelated to what's actually at stake here, what's actually being talked about. It's a complete loophole that has nothing to do with anything. It was a very frustrating experience. I feel like if I wasn't doing this podcast, I might be out. I literally cannot say I'm a fan of the show anymore. And I loved season one.
I loved season one so much. I'm a little nervous about season two.
It has to turn it around.
Some people got a hold of it and said, hey, we got lightning in a bottle. Let's fuck it up.
So
I also just want to say, for those listening at home, the definition of the word salient is most noticeable or important.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, computer. I can't argue with anything you just said. And yet, I still liked it.
Yeah.
There we go. I want to defend it harder, but deep down, I know that it was pretty superficial. But I love the superficial message that it was.
Sure,
it was
I love the message too. Absolutely. It's a good message.
Sometimes I think we need to be hit over the head with it. And I think it was more of a hit you over the head with it episode than a nuanced episode.
That's all in addition to the fact that this isn't why I don't love this show because it sits in a courtroom all episode. I love this show because I love all the different characters doing interesting things as they explore. Mm. Strange new worlds. The courtroom is not a strange new world. It isn't.
It's why I think that this, my biggest takeaway was this should have happened way later. Like, this is a much later episode that should have come up. Anyway, before we get even more into the weeds, let's do something fun. So this week's episode is called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Super duper quick, Aaron, we'll start with you. Big prediction for the episode and something oddly specific.
Oh, good question. For big prediction, I think we definitely have to go to another planet. I think we are at the point now where if we're not dealing with something new, they've made a huge mistake.
Uh-huh.
Or strange, then we've made a huge mistake. Oddly specific, Groundhog's Day reference.
Oh, nice. I see what you're doing. Yeah, nice. I like that. I mean, I'm here for that because that's my all-time favorite episode. Cause and effect. Let's do it. Danae, Ambassador.
I think that my general prediction is we're talking about a time loop of some kind. And my highly specific is that somebody will stutter their words.
I love that. Somebody will stutter.
Yeah.
I like Danae's specific predictions. I think they're amazing.
They never
That's
come
so
true.
Somebody
so
is
great.
Going to wear purple polka dots. I can
yes.
just feel it.
We will
that's
we
why
will
envision.
See this happening.
because that's how predictions work. We do this 1,000 times. Mm. One of these bizarre predictions is going to work.
It's going to happen someday.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to predict anything because I've been trailered to death on everything. But I'm always hoping for a time loop episode. Anything to do with time and I'm in. But hey, I said the same thing about courtroom dramas.
And it worked for you. So there you go.
Maybe 10 years from now, it won't. Anyhow. Let's head over to the holodeck to watch episode 3. We'll see you all in 10 forward 3 to beam out before they both leave me.
Before you go through adolescence.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab a drink from the replicator and share our immediate thoughts and feelings on the episode we just watched together. Most important question first. Ambassador, what is your beverage of choice?
I want that Plimiac toilet soup. Yeah.
Plimiac toilet soup.
Plimiac?
Plimiac, yeah, cool.
Just toilet soup.
Commodore Dicer?
Just the gravy part of the poutine. I just want to drink that through a straw.
Yeah, drink that gravy. Yeah. Nice. Well, just to continue a theme, I'll just take a cup of La'an's tears, because I think we tend to drink the tears of whoever is crying that episode, which seems to be a lot of people.
In a grimace shake.
Oh, yes. Crumble. Ambassador, give us a synopsis.
Oh, shit. Boy, did Punchy Punch episode number one not scratch your Star Trek itch? How about the courtroom drama number two? No, not what you were looking for. How about a fucking love story set on Earth? Did you think you were going to the stars today? Well, fuck you, Strange New Worlds lover.
Oh, no.
No, no. That's not what happens this episode. In this episode, La'an is put through an immense amount of torture and told to shut up about it. Do you want her to get over her trauma and use her words and talk about shit that's important to her like the doctor wants her to do? No. No, we don't. We want her to fall in love, watch a man die, and contemplate murdering a child. And that's the episode today. Oh, there's a whole bunch of Star Trek references in this, but if you're a new Star Trek person, none of it makes sense.
Yeah, there are. Wow, I'm amazed you found them. Right, yeah. That's largely it. La'an is faced with an interesting visitor on the Enterprise after completing some duties and has to go back into the past with an alternate timeline version of Captain Kirk to save the future that may never be by maybe or maybe not killing her great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. So, Jesus, criminy. Commodore Dicer, yeah. You weren't with us last week. Go first. Overall thoughts and feelings. How did you feel about episode 3 of Strange New Worlds?
Oh, man. It brings me no joy to say I'm out on this show. I'm watching it solely for this podcast at this point. I may have some fun with a few episodes here and there when they decide to be the show from the first season again. but I cannot imagine the room where a majority of people said these are the three episodes we want to start season two with. Like,
it's insane.
I am blown away at how different these first three episodes are from the entirety of season one. And
is it arrogance?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. And this is, in my opinion, the worst of the three. And that's saying something. After my conversation that you've already heard in this podcast about the second episode. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Why is this show insisting on being an inferior version of inferior shows? Like, why is it going? Why does it want to be Law and Order? Why does it want to be CSI? I'm so confused at what we're doing here. Great. Our Strange New World this episode was Toronto modern day. Thank you. Thank you for understanding what I love about this show.
And Vermont. We saw Vermont.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. And Vermont.
Yeah, we were international, technically.
I cannot say that I can assess the latter half of this show with any kind of clarity. I was angry by the middle of this show. I was angry. So it's possible that painted everything after that. But I think this whole episode is terrible. Worst episode ever of the show. Comic
Ambassador,
book guy.
Do it.
I completely agree with the Commodore.
I would have been shocked had there been any other response.
I felt this one again sitting in my seat. I looked at the time and I still had half of the episode to go.
Because it's 3 hours long.
Feels it.
And I literally had to get up and take a break. I got up. I went into the room. I walked around. I visited my dead fish. I grabbed a drink. I thought about grabbing a bottle of wine.
Second. You'll find out about the dead fish in the outtakes. We haven't... The podcast listener won't know that yet, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's fine, podcast listener. It's fine. I mean, okay, spoiler alert. I have a very expensive you know, mausoleum or whatever. It currently has an actual dead.
Someone came back in time
it.
And killed that fish to make sure that the right timeline went ahead.
I would rather go look at the fish than watch the rest of this episode, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that says a lot. And I have more to say about it when we get to the specifics, but I agree with everything the Commodore said. I'm confused, and I had this thought multiple times throughout. Is this a budget situation?
So I wrote a really snarky joke down saying it's almost as if they were preemptively writing for the writer's strike, which hadn't happened yet, but it feels like this feels like a writer's strike episode. This feels like a filler, run out of budget, no idea what to do. Let's just pick every trope that we possibly can and not do them very well either. And let's not even try to be original with our concept. Which all to say, Ian agrees. This is a terrible episode of Star Trek. This is really
bad. Really bad. That's bad, Ian. Okay, podcast listener, listen, we you're in for a treat this episode.
I deliberately sway towards being more positive. Because I'm going to be the diehard Trekkie. I'm going to be the one that advocates for a lot. This was terrible. This was some bullshit. I really like Laan. I really like New Kirk, Paul Wesley. I will have an episode of them just talking to each other, but not in fucking 21st century Canada doing just the same boring time travel shit that we've seen 1,000 times before. With not even a mild moral ambiguity to it. Like, this is a copy and paste episode of time travel that we've seen done so many times. We've seen it in Picard in season 2, the car scene with them driving around and suddenly...
Yeah, I had that thought as well.
They don't know how to drive a car. And it's one of the few things that Picard season 2 actually, I think, did better, which is damning. Absolutely damning. I think once again this week, I don't know if I can bring myself to do a full 10 forward on it and just a general discussion, because 10 forward will be, I quite like Paul Wesley. Into the sins. Let's start sinning the show. Battle stations, everyone.
Oh, shit. Really? Captain's calling us to battle stations this quick. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Do you have any positives?
Toronto is a beautiful city. It really is. It's a nice place to visit. That doesn't really have much to do with this episode, but it is a nice place to visit.
Great filming location. Right, genuinely.
I did like being in Canada.
Yeah,
like,
if you're going to travel back in time, I'm glad it wasn't New York, and I'm glad it wasn't San Francisco for once. Or London, which always seems to be.
There's some really, you know, consistent places to visit, and I wasn't expecting Canada. You know, we also had Kirk front and center, and I'm like, what are they doing here? Are they trying to introduce something that's coming down the line? Because this is the third episode now, again, without a lot of Pike, which is really upsetting because I love Anson
it's
Mount.
Almost like, did Anson Mount do something like that they know about that we don't? Like, what is going
they're
on?
Editing him out? Why is Paul Wesley's Kirk here? Why? Why is he the center of this episode?
Like, this is setting up a relationship with two people that we really don't have that reach for. Like, so it's like, oh, well, we're going to be using these two characters in a spinoff in a year and a half. So let's give them an episode on this platform so that it makes more sense later, because they already have plans for something like, oh, you know, well, this is really, what are we going to do after Strange New Worlds with all these characters when Pike dies? Well, we better start preparing for that. So now, instead of just showing us really good episodes with the characters that we love, they're preparing for the next thing. Like, Spock in this episode wasn't even our Spock. It was an alternate timeline Spock. So once again, they've taken the crew that we've come to love, and then they've scattered them around and done it in a really strange way.
You're forgetting
way to me.
We saw Spock get called on the carpet for playing his lute too loud.
His instrument too loud. You know, yeah, that's true.
You forget.
It's baffling to me when you have a Chef's Kiss original time travel episode at the end of last season, and then to just do this tropey how you don't do time travel in the... It's like, did you sack everyone and just ad-lib everything? It feels like such a lack of care and such a... It's like, I think what they put first was Laan's storyline and Laan's performance and Christina Chong's performance. Which is great. She's excellent. I really like her. Aaron probably doesn't. I really like her. That's great. It's like, that went first, and let's just plop her into a time travel story. But time travel is so much fun. Don't waste it. Don't waste it on this.
So are courtroom dramas usually.
So I'm a bit confused, I guess, too. And maybe this is just me missing some stuff, but like in this one, La'an has been chosen to go back in time to stop an assassination. But then there's like these other comments about, I don't know, maybe it all makes a little bit more sense in retrospect. But like in the middle of it, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to stop a reactor. Or okay, we're going to, this is what's happened. Like they're trying to solve this kind of, where are we supposed to be in time? And they accidental their way to all of it. Like had they not been at the right time or here at the right time. So it's truly an episode that asks you to shut all sin brain down to enjoy it. And I wrote almost nothing but sins the entire time. It felt like I was writing and like it felt like I was working.
Yeah.
Like, well, Danae, I'm with you. News alert, you are. Either way.
I'll let you.
Yeah,
like I'm writing, like the whole chess thing, I'm thinking, okay, so obviously Kirk must like chess. So somebody who knows Captain Kirk watches this and was like, oh, this is cool because, you know, Kirk in any timeline likes chess. But I don't know that as a viewer. So there's so many things as a fan that I'm making a lot of assumptions about
you're right.
How this would hit differently for somebody who would watch this and go, oh, that chess scene was so cool, instead of, you can make enough money to have a really expensive hotel by playing chess? Is
and
that
you've
right?
Picked the longest,
it was so
you've picked
dumb.
The longest game to gamble on as well. Do you know how long it takes to
like
play
all
a chess
day.
Game?
Like, we're in a hurry.
And people that are playing street chess are going to be good at it. They're not just, hey, I'll give it a go. They're going to be challenging opponents.
Do we see him beat four people?
At least.
But the pile, you know, and then they're just leaving the money out there and he's doing his thing. And it's like, you're willing to accost a man and steal his car, but in order to make money, you're going to use chess. But you know what? It's just, that's what was right in front of him. And it's just kind of like a little thing. And then I was also confused because the episode did things where it's like, oh, I didn't really come from Earth because Earth was like this horrible place or whatever, like the alternate Kirk. But he knows what a hot dog is.
My one thing that I do want to say is, despite how much I hated this episode, I did think Christina Chong gave a good performance. She's in a terrible episode of television, but especially at the end, like I really felt like, you know, she was doing a good job. So
I am really relieved to hear you say that, because that's my thought as well. Yeah.
She was given great. A very strange thing too. Like there were some things I felt like were really against her character. Like for example, not sounding the alert whenever the person, she sees someone that's a complete stranger zip into the ship shot. She's not like calling for security.
Yeah, red alert.
You know, there's so many things that happen to make it possible. And then like the button pushing, she's swept into a different ship or something like that. And I don't understand how the time travel stuff works. Why did she need Kirk to do that? Why did the button push not take her to Canada? You know, there's this weird thing. I don't understand that. Did you guys understand that? Like, so she goes from her ship to alternate Kirk's ship to Earth. And it seemed like the timeline people knew that had to happen or something. Like, why did they have to be together? And why did it have to be alternate timeline Kirk? I don't understand this.
My understanding is that as soon as that guy from the future expired, that was the final nail in the old timeline. So somehow he manages to travel to the right timeline in the future, then dies, which then changes the timeline, which moves her to a different ship. Because we do see a flash where everything changes.
Yeah.
But really, he should have traveled into the bad future. He shouldn't have traveled into our future. That doesn't make sense to me. But apparently his dying triggered the changes.
Well, La'an didn't apparently exist in that timeline.
Or if she did, she wasn't. No, because Khan doesn't exist.
Right. So they had to go to our timeline to get Singh to be able to use her hand to open the door to have the confrontation with the fake Romulan.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question while we're talking about Romulan? Are they usually so expressive?
Yeah, they're more emotional than Vulcans,
I feel like usually they're just more subdued in this. They're just more... I mean, she's been there for 30 years, so she got sassy.
I mean, but there is that, definitely. 30 years among... humans would be pretty, that would piss me off as well. It has pissed me off. But yeah, Romulans don't suppress their emotions as much. They kind of harness them a little bit more. They are different to Vulcan in that regard.
Yeah, okay.
Matt, what you were saying about the fan stuff, that's a good place to dive in, I think. The canon references, you didn't even scratch the surface of the chess thing. So one of my biggest sins for this episode is the throwaway line that the Romulan says with where she says that, yeah, all of this should have happened in the 90s or in 1992, and I've been stuck here since then trying to change it. One of the issues with canon that started with the original series was that the stuff with Khan is that Khan and World War III happens in the 90s because the original series was made in the 60s. So they're like, hey, 30 years from now, there's a big world war. And then when real timeline caught up and that stuff didn't happen, it's like, oh, this is based on real history, but that didn't happen in the 90s. So they're trying to say that something between now and then reset the timeline so that it actually happened in the 2020s or the 2030s. And that's when World War III happened, right? So it feels like this episode is trying to fix something that was broken in canon. And it's just, it's so weird. Such a weird thing to try to do. Mm-hmm. Like, try and explain that Khan is now a child in the noughts as opposed to being a child in the 60s. It's so weird.
Yeah, like, this is what an episode shouldn't do. An episode shouldn't make us go, why did they make this?
Yeah.
You know, it should make us be like, that was fucking fun.
Well, I can tell you why they made it.
Why did they make it?
I can tell you why. I think this is the major I'm sorry, we're still in the stuff we like section. Did we officially move over?
I think we're just trying to figure it out. I think we're just talking about it.
Great. They are making these episodes with a specific character arc in mind instead of writing a story and then finding how what that story means impacts their characters. So they're putting the cart before the horse in some ways, because this episode was made so we could deal with Noonien Singh's wrestling with the trauma of her legacy and her past. That was where they started. And they went, okay, what's the best way we can do this? Oh, I know. What if she could kill Khan? What if we can get her to the place where she has a choice? Do you kill baby Hitler or not? And like,
yeah, that's the crux.
That
of the
is
episode.
The crux. They started there and they worked backwards. And yeah, I think the episode shows for it. It's just really clunky, you know, to get there that quick.
And they don't even spend a lot of time in that moment because she's already decided by the time she gets there that she's not going to do it. There's no question. There's no question of, do I delete myself from the timeline and do I prevent this just because I had a snapshot of what actually happens? Like, there's no decision to be made at the end of the episode. It's just, we didn't even need to see Khan as a kid. There's no need.
Right.
There's nothing she's going to do. Just bizarre.
Yep.
Just bizarre.
Was there something with the watch? Like, was that something? Is that Kirk's watch? Like, is that something that's canon?
Not
are we
that
supposed
I can
to
remember? No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Just a watch. Just a dumb excuse to find the radioactive stuff. It's also really weird that they're making a cold fusion reactor next to all of the genetic modification stuff. Let's just put all of this evil shit in the same
the
building.
The contrivance in this episode is through the convenient roof. It is ridiculous how much contrivance this episode does to get where it needs to go.
What did you think of Kirk? Like, what did you think of the person playing Kirk and this person trying to kind of like bring to life
same
this different...
Same guy from the finale, right?
Yeah, still Paul Wesley.
Yeah, I really liked the Kirk in the finale. In fact, if I'm remembering correctly, I think I liked him even more than you guys did.
Wait, no, I thought you said you hated him.
Did I?
You said you really didn't like his Kirk performance.
Well, that makes me feel better because I really didn't like his Kirk performance here. I was trying to figure out how I changed my mind so drastically. There's
someone in the
no
chat confirmed
charm
that
and
for
charisma
me.
to his portrayal of Kirk. Everything that makes James Tiberius Kirk who he is completely absent from his portrayal.
Oh, he nailed it because Shatner has no charm or charisma either. So I think in that
you're
by that,
wrong. You're wrong.
Paul Wesley is charming as fuck. That he was. He's a better Kirk.
He's a stiff man. He is like the. I can't.
Shatner isn't.
No, he's not. His delivery is stilted, but the idea, like, there is a smile in Shatner's eyes when he's saying some lines that Wesley just doesn't have. Like there's nothing warm under there.
I don't really have a lot of experience with Shatner, you know, like, I mean, I have clips and little things here and there. And of course, all of the people that have been mimicking his line delivery for as long as I can remember. but I don't really have the comparison problem here. Standalone as a new character to me, I couldn't figure out what was charming about him, because he was kind of gaslighting and pompous and then all of a sudden charming. And it just felt very like he, like in each moment, was reaching for another part of a character trait instead of being this character. And it's probably very difficult to try to bring somebody to life that's so epic. And so I'm not poo-pooing on the actor for doing what they were doing. I think it was just confusing for me, because I wrote down, I don't think I like this guy, before I realized, I'm like, oh wait, it's Kirk. Oh, this is Kirk. Okay. But I think that's also part of what I remember people saying about watching the original series too, is he's not a very likable guy. No,
he's an arrogant, pompous man. But the thing about Shatner's portrayal, and Pines as well, by the way, actually Pine is my favorite Kirk.
Agree. Yeah.
But the thing that they both have is they can be pompous and arrogant, and you're still falling in love with them somehow. Like there's still this element of like a knowing smile where they're kind of self-aware a little bit more than I feel like the Paul Wesley portrayal is. But
I kind of agree on all of those fronts. This, and I'm going to be really reaching here a little bit. This is a younger version of Kirk as well. So this is Lieutenant Kirk, who maybe hasn't. Okay, we're dealing with Captain Kirk, but it's still young.
Sure.
This Kirk at this age is younger, and maybe he hasn't found that in him yet. I don't know if I'm going to give the writers that much credit, considering the episode that they're in. But I do feel like
it's also not necessarily how human nature usually works. That's, you know, that charm is usually what leads when you're young, and then wisdom comes as you get old. You know what I mean? Like it's usually backwards human nature-wise, but yeah.
But I still, I do like this version of Kirk, and it did really work for me, especially when the most clever twist for me was because I was kind of saying, you're just going to eat a hot dog? Like, why is Kirk so relaxed? He's relaxed and a bit arrogant because he doesn't want to help. He wants his timeline to stay the same. So this is why maybe some of the gaslighting happened and some of the lackadaisical stuff turned up.
That bothered me too. And I know that we're kind of just waxing in and out of things we liked and things we didn't like, waxing and waning. But there was like this, and probably because I'm not always in on the time travel jargon stuff, but La'an was confident. She said, I'm pretty sure I know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. My timeline versus your timeline. It's a telltale. It's the time old time story.
It's almost as if she's seen this trope before as well.
And that was it. And he's like, yeah, me too. We're at a fork in the road and it's me versus you. Let's fuck. And listen, they didn't actually fuck. And that's the biggest sin of this show. That's the biggest sin of this episode, is that they didn't, you know, they had a lot of time to play chess, but not people chess. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's what this episode was missing from me. Oh, what was I talking about again? Oh, the time travel stuff. They both were talking about it so casually and like confidently at the same time, which I think kind of was supposed to put me at ease. But instead, I'm just like, how the fuck do they know what's happening at all? And then I remember, these are people who have come in contact with aliens and like the weirdest shit. And I have to remember that in their world, yeah, you have these kinds of conversations, you know. You have people pop in and out in front of you and apparate and hand you things. And it's like, oh, this is totally normal for to happen. So I'm just going to kind of roll with it. You know, there's so many weird things that go on. So it's not like they would be processing the trauma of what is happening like I would. You know, if somebody appeared in front of me, I would shit my pants. You know, I want to think I would go into fight or flight and like just like kick their ass. But I probably would shit my pants, cry, run, scream. I'd be terrified. This was the strangest dating episode I've ever seen. Right? Like, this is an episode of TV where two people meet and
it's
fall in love.
It's a meet snore.
Weird.
It's not a meet cute. There's nothing
so
cute about this.
They're kind of cute.
They are not.
I think what you might be picking up on, and this is what I thought, is that the writers almost like accidentally realized how cliche the time travel stuff they were doing was. So their characters are so okay with it and just so confident with how time travel works, because this is the most reductive, basic version of time travel that you can do. Like, my timeline versus your timeline. Which one's the right one? Who has the right to say what's good or bad? It's been done so many times that I don't know how you can write it without your characters being aware that it's in pop culture so much. It fell apart for me so much. Commodore, specifically on the time travel, what did you... Because you're a real stickler for time travel.
I mean, I gave up on mentally going with their time travel idea way early, so I wasn't caught up in, the paradoxes and that kind of, who cares, that, you know, from the moment she looks at this man and says, your timeline isn't supposed to exist anymore, with no understanding of what she's saying to a human being, you don't deserve to exist. Like, it didn't even occur to her that could be offensive to him in some way.
This version of you sucks.
And I'm just like, what is going on? All the time travel stuff for me, I was less frustrated by paradoxes, which are what they are, and whatever. If you're going to do time travel, fine, whatever you're doing. And more concerned with just the idea that everything seemed so simple to them. And it was just like, we're going through time. All right. Well, I guess we know what the right timeline is. Didn't have to think about that one very hard. It was really weird.
And maybe, like, Danae, I think you're right. Maybe it is because they deal with the extraordinary every single day. And who knows? Maybe someday we will see them experience some of the extraordinary. But this week was not that week.
It's
so casual.
It's a bit of a... This was definitely a bummer episode. I was really looking forward to having more of that confident adventure story that I've just been, you know, kind of waiting for. And these episodes truly caused me to wonder... Like, I don't think we're going to get a season 3 of Strange New Worlds. I think they're going to wrap up Pike's story. They're going to introduce Kirk as the new captain, and we're going to go off and do something different. We're not having this group of people traveling together. If by episode 3 we still haven't seen our crew travel together, there is a problem, in my opinion.
Totally agree. And it has been renewed for season 3. So we know we know that we're getting a season 3. But
there were many shows renewed for a season during the last writer's strike that never showed up. So I'm just saying.
No. Understandable. Prodigy, for example, renewed and now canceled.
The entire second season of Prodigy is done.
Done and still cancelled. So yeah, I totally get it. But that's probably, I know I keep saying this, but the overall biggest thing for me is, where's the damn crew? Why? And this is where, like, I mentioned the arrogance thing earlier, is that when you get to like season 4 or season 5, season 6, and you're trying to find new ways to keep it fresh, you can get away maybe with this kind of an episode because we have such a history. I still feel like I have barely seen this crew together, and I would almost understand.
It's sad because it was so fun. It was so good.
I would almost understand if we're seeing a recasting of Kirk, Spock, McCoy, like the original series as we know it, because subconsciously we do have a history with that crew. But this is a brand new crew. Yes, we know the name Pike. Yes, we know Spock and Uhura. But pretty much everyone else is brand new. So I would like to see them together, please. It's such a weird choice to do these individual episodes that feel so disjointed.
It really does. I mean, it's gonna make me wonder, like, okay, so episode 1 seemed to be backstory on the doctor and church, episode
Chapel,
2
yes.
seemed to be, you know, background on this, you know, like, so I don't know, episode, this one's about this person, so are we gonna just go through the entire crew,
I mean,
and not actually adventure? Is this going to be little miniature episodes? And is that kind of their thought for the arc of the season?
And there's a way to do that where, like Aaron said, you do the adventure and see how that adventure relates to which character. Like, which character do you zero in on using that adventure that you're telling? It just feels like such a missed hit on how to tell a story.
I honestly don't know what show this season. Like, I'm so confused. It's like,
I almost wish that we did have an arc for the entire 10 episodes. At least maybe then we'd have like,
but they are, but
cohesion.
But they are. That's the other thing, is it's not like this Noonien Singh stuff was just introduced for this episode, and it's not like the stuff we resolved last episode was just introduced for. They are getting caught up in their overall season to season character arcs at the expense of going on fun adventures. You know, like it's
letting things evolve naturally. Yeah. So interesting.
And we still have very little Pike.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. Like, why are you burying Anson Mount? So frustrating. Okay, let's have some fun and do some of the more nitpicky sins.
Does your employer pay for training or education that can help you in your job today? Then, IT folks, this is for you. CBT Nuggets offers online IT training that's affordable and, dare we say, fun. From networking and cybersecurity to data science, CBT Nuggets has the training to get you through the workday. With our courses, you'll build real-world skills with short, engaging videos, hands-on virtual labs, and quiz questions to test what you've learned. Go to cbtnuggets.com and check it out. Our online platform launches right in your browser. No expensive hardware or software is needed to start. The best part? You can watch and learn at your own pace, on your schedule. cbtnuggets.com. It's IT training for all levels. From beginner-level courses to advanced network training, our expert instructors give you information that's informative, meaningful, and engaging. We've been helping learners for over 25 years, and we're a trusted name in IT training. So tell your boss it's time for CBT Nuggets IT training. Go to cbtnuggets.com and get started today.
Warning, warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
Commodore Dicer, let's go first. Sure. What did you have in terms of like nitpicky funds?
Well, we already mentioned the chess thing, right? Because I think that like we'd probably write like a dozen sins on that chess.
Yeah,
thing.
For sure.
It made no sense. I think I'm going to start with the dying man cliche, which happens all the time, where it's like the treasure is buried in the
dying breaths. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Where it's like, I'm going to give you information that will start the story, but not give you the information that's valuable. By the way, get to the bridge. Wah, wah. Like it's so this guy comes to them and says, get to the bridge, but doesn't have enough breath to like clarify what he means because it's super important. Like he's not going to be like, get to the such and such bridge. Like he's not going to actually name the bridge that they're supposed to get to.
I almost forgave it because I thought maybe this is a person from the past who wouldn't think of a starship bridge.
No!
But this is a temporal agent from the future who knows the wordplay. He was deliberately punning.
He's literally an employee of the Time Variance Authority from the Loki show. Like, he is, he's
Star Trek did it first. Thank you.
He's literally there to do that. I was going to ask you about that, by the way, about this time group and how long they've existed in Star Trek and what other things they've done. But
yeah, the Temporal Agency have been around since Voyager Deep Space Nine, since the 90s Star Trek. So they pop in every now and again at the end of these episodes to say, we fucking hate you, stop it.
Shh.
Yeah, be quiet.
They say, shh, suppress your trauma. Yeah,
exactly. You can't talk about this.
So...
for the betterment of all.
The entire guy dies before they tell you the things that they really should have told you and tell you, things that are, necessary for the plot to start moving is certainly something that would have been said.
Very, very wonky. Ambassador.
If we're doing fun nitpicky sins, I would say Spock's coat is not my coat in this scene because he looked hot as fuck.
You want to be the coat draped over Ethan Peck?
So good. Yeah. Like, he looked so cool. Mm-hmm. Was it interesting for you to see him in that sort of like world where he was like a full on Vulcan immersion? He wasn't, well, there was no Federation. There's no Starfleet.
The few seconds that we saw, fine. It felt a bit, I don't know, it felt a bit unnecessary to me. I don't know. I would rather have like the full episode in the alternate timeline. However, we did that last season.
If we wanted to go full vulgar on the sin, I think like he says something like, James Kirk, like, you violated something. It's like, I'm not being violated by this person in the scene. Like, you know what I mean? He looked so good.
I'm not
good.
Being pranked.
So if we're going to go nitpicky fun sense, because I feel like we've done a lot of, like, silly and, like, really deep stuff on this episode.
Spock isn't vigorously practicing on me in this episode.
Exactly.
My actual sin is that how apparently the influencer just stops a traffic violation. Like, what kind of commentary are we trying to do here? Because the police are right. In this case, they were speeding. He has no license. This
he
car will
be
not
in
be
prison.
Registered to him. He should be arrested.
Somebody.
There's no way the police back down in that situation.
Oh no, you're
right.
Filming me doing my job right.
Right? Like, great, but thumbs up.
But they're nice. They're Canadian, so they're extra nice.
I don't get that at all. Like, it was trying to make some sort of commentary on how the police are terrible, but it just doing it the complete backwards way. It's so strange.
Yeah, I definitely had that written down as well.
Comment.
I think the needle drop when they start driving that car is one of the most obnoxious things I've ever heard in a Star Trek show. I was just like, what? Like, listen, and no, like, shade on the song. I'm sure the song's a great song, but I was like, is this what this show is? Like, we're doing a baby driver needle drop right now?
It
like, what
felt
is
so weird?
It was so out of place. So I would have definitely have sent that.
Not to mention, we have one of the most unapologetic. I don't know how cars work. Now I'm a stunt driver.
Mm-hmm.
I can do power slides and everything. Like, just insane, unbelievable. Yeah. What? Not even a passing. Oh yeah, I used to drive these with my dad back in Iowa on the USS Iowa.
Back on the USS Iowa, yeah, on the plains of the USS Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, ambassador.
Hey, I know I kind of mentioned my frustration with the hot dog situation earlier. I won't spend too much time on it. But this idea that Kirk knows things, but then also doesn't know things about their environment, it kind of like goes back and forth a little bit too much for me. So I would do something with the hot dog, but then also he takes a massive bite of that hot dog.
It's so big.
And it's the biggest bite I maybe have watched anybody take in film. I just remember going like, oh, that was too much. And then you can kind of see, I don't think he was breaking character, because like, that character is just, you know, charming in this way. But he's like, I gotta go get another hot dog. And I think that my sin would be like, that's a strange way of saying, oh my God, I just took way too much of this bun in my mouth, because it was like it was a great bite. So I would have fun with it, because there's enough sins for real.
Oh, yeah. I would also mention with my sin, I had this down, the Freud would be in love with the way he tries to force his hot dog on her, like that, like Freud would have a field day with that scene.
My hot dog saved your life. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, we're back round to me. So this was with the watch. And she's like, I promise that if it starts glowing, I'll tell you. As I immediately put it at my side in the dark and not watch it. Like,
Not only that, in the pocket, because it's cold.
It could have been glowing. They should be glued.
I had that written down,
too. They should
too.
Be glued to it as if the timeline depends on it.
None of this episode depends on the timeline. Nothing. They're so casual the whole time.
Insane.
Yeah.
Just hold it at my... Like, those shitty things that glow in the dark never actually glow in the dark. You're always like, is it working? Let's shine a light on it. Ridiculous. And Commodore.
The chat did just steal one of mine, so I'll go ahead and get it out there. But the fact that La'an has no idea how zooming works, as if that's something the future doesn't understand.
Right?
We don't understand what it means to look at something that was smaller and now it's bigger. What is this zooming you're talking about?
Someone in the series at some point is going to say, hey, zoom in on that. And I'm going to be like, La'an isn't confused by this person.
Right, yes. Yeah.
I would definitely sin somehow, like, going to the amount of money on the table, trying to figure out about how much is there. He's kind of counting it. He somehow knows exactly how to pay exact change for two hot dogs, by the way, even though
should
be confused about how money works. But then they were in a super nice hotel, and I know I mentioned it earlier, but that really bothered me. Like, they were in a fucking suite with a view of this massive bridge based on having very little money. Like, they should be in a Super 8.
Yes, exactly.
Sharing one double bed with stains on the carpet. You know what I mean?
That should have been grotty as heck. Anyway. And there's no need for them to spend all of that money. And I get that. There is no history between La'an and Kirk. By her own admission, they have never met.
I was wondering.
Nothing. They have never met. And yet, after an afternoon together, she's lying awake at night. And I guess the subtext is that La'an finds it difficult to make friends, and this is somebody she's going to try and change her ways. But that it felt so weird to have that. That was a Spock and Chapel moment, not a Kirk and La'an moment. So strange.
It was more forced and fast than any rom-com I've ever seen. Like, it was like from the moment he, I guess, accidentally, maybe on purpose, who knows, leaves the changing room curtain open. And she looks in, and it's just like, oh no, is this what are we really?
Yeah,
like, am I really asking for this? Like, is this what we're doing in this episode? And then you're right, she gets up and goes and looks at him on the couch, like she has these deep, meaningful feelings for this arrogant man she just met. It's
Or creepily watching him change clothes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, he has abs.
Right?
And then
that's all it takes.
And then, like, I don't know if my eyes have ever rolled as far back as they did when they kissed. I was just like, who cares? This just doesn't work.
I kind of like that they kissed, and then they looked at each other like, oh, we should probably do that again, right? Yeah, let's do that again.
I mean, it's on brand for Kirk. It completely makes sense for Kirk. I don't know if I follow it in that situation with Larn.
Like, what were they thinking in that moment? I wonder if the timelines will explode. Like, is this what blows up the timeline, is us kissing? Like, there's so much going on, but then they're like, no, we should probably do that again.
Let's do it. Num, 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 num. So I had I'm going to go back to the stereotropy time travel stuff, and it's man from the future doesn't know how revolving doors work, and like,
oh yeah, I'm from space, yeah.
Where you have electric doors that open. Revolving doors are not a big leap, my friend.
Not really.
And yeah, you can
all you have
that
to understand is
the
simple laws of physics that are involved. Like
pushing a door open,
they can figure out whatever engineering they figure out from watches in an antique store, but they can't figure out revolving doors.
Just very strange. Wild.
What about the palm, the hand palm scanner that works, even though she's got half of her palm covered from the glove?
Yeah.
Like, she's wearing a glove where only her fingers are showing, and she puts it on the palm scanner, and somehow it's able to still work.
Because.
And maybe it's because all they need is the tip, and that's fine, but then you don't need that much of a pad in the first place.
Just the pad itself makes no sense.
Because why
would you make it key to that person's family genome instead of their fingerprints? Like, why would you make it less specific other than for the story? Like, that scanner makes no sense at all. Doesn't make any sense. I'm done.
You're done?
No.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. I felt like it was just going to be me talking for the next half hour.
No, you go for it.
I have to pull out, amongst all the contrivances in this episode, I believe the most forced happens before we even time travel, which is all the Carol Kane stuff with all her stolen loot that just happens to be a thing she's dealing with.
Ship?
And just she, like, they need every piece of that information to find her on Earth. And the only reason it's there is so that they can find her on Earth. It is so contrived.
Which she knows.
Pause here while everyone considers timelines.
Pelion knows that La'an goes back in time, so she has to have that information there to help La'an find her in the past.
I don't think the episode is saying that
I
at
don't
all.
I think so.
Because I thought that as well.
There wasn't even like a wink at the end.
Was.
They're willing to zoom in on a watch, but they're not even like winking. Like
Pelion gives like a little head tilt to La'an when she's in her jacket while she's on the bridge. Like, because Vermont was the thing that got to me, was because there's no reason for Pelion to mention Vermont, but it has to be deliberate.
Okay. I mean, then it makes sense why it's so contrived, that would be the explanation. I just hadn't considered that to be the same timeline, but okay.
But
Pelion could have done something where she's like, you know, did you ever know that I did this, this, and this? Why did she have to like lug all of her actual antiques onto the ship?
No, because if she's in here. Yeah,
if she's too obvious about it, the temporal prime directive people come in and say, hey, you're interfering.
Yeah, I think that's right.
She's probably been slapped by them a few times.
I would imagine she's been slapped by them many times.
Well, this brings me to my another sin, since that one apparently isn't a sin.
Okay.
My other sin is when the woman at the end is like, what'd she say? To be clear, I didn't send you anywhere. Oh, really? Oh, really, person who knows all of time and how it happens? Oh, really, if Peli can be involved in this, the person who's actually in charge doesn't know this is how it's going to go down or work and that this is what the timeline is? Like, yeah, it's
very easy to come in after the fact.
Right. Yeah. Anyhow.
So what I was going to compare it to was how... So somebody in the chat has just made a very good point that Carol Kane is kind of playing a Whoopi Goldberg Guinan character because Guinan was introduced in season 2 as well. This all-knowing being that's very old and has lots and lots and lots of knowledge. And they do this in TNG, where Guinan has been waiting for a series of events to happen. And Picard goes to her and says, you know what's going on here. And she says, I cannot tell you because it will interfere with the timeline. And they play on it. And then at the end of the episode, the adventure is done. Picard goes to 10 forward, sits down with Guinan and they just look at each other and give this like nod. And it's just, it's this full circle thing. So instead of having fun with it and knowing that we've come full circle, it does leave it ambiguous. And it does leave it, did Pellia just get lucky? Is this all subconscious? And it's just, it's a missed opportunity. Ambassador, any others?
Now,
I was just going to say, after an entire episode of not giving me anything I want about this show, at least the show had the good sense to just end with people punching each other once again. That's, you know, like...
That's what I wanted from the Romulan secret
spy. Thanks for understanding me, show. Always got to have that fist fight at the end because it's necessary.
And then the Romulan who's been there for 30 years just nopes out and vaporizes herself. Like, now's the time to give up. That's just baffling.
Yeah.
I did have another missed opportunity, which was, considering the timeline alteration happens before the opening credits, we could have had Paul Wesley do the To Boldly Go. Like, I just thought that would have been a nice little touch to have
fun.
Him do the opening credits, considering he's now the captain, which has been done in the past. They've messed with that. But yeah, not surprised.
I also want to say that telling someone, I know you and I know your secret without any context is a great way to get murdered. Like,
it really is. Like, yeah.
No context. But I know you and I know your secret. Oh, okay.
Pap, pap.
Come on Dave. In. Come on in, guys. Just we'll make some tea for you. You know.
Amazing.
Drink the whole thing,
I mean,
please.
She could have just said Lanthanite. Like, that would have been enough to get her through the door.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
She also, like, Lan also, like, she takes that, when at the very beginning, when the time traveler guy reaches into his pocket, I'm surprised she didn't... say, hey, hands out of your pocket. Like, he could have been there to attack her. She's so casual.
So chill. So casual.
Anyway,
no, my
everyone should be dead.
My final thought, and we'll let Aaron just listen through the rest of his stuff.
I'm almost done. It is
the how it was a reference fest with Khan and how unfair again that is to the new people. Like, I appreciate it as like somebody who knows exactly what they're talking about. I still don't think it was necessary. But again, I don't know how a stranger comes into this and isn't completely lost by the Khan stuff, why that's important, why like the impact that that has is so tied into knowing the canon. And let's just stop revisiting Khan. Like, let's just stop revisiting. Let's make a new show. Like, TNG had this rule where they weren't allowed to do references. They weren't allowed to do cameos because they had to blaze their own trail. And Strange New Worlds... isn't doing that in season two.
Yeah.
And we haven't even got to the Gorn yet.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
I love it when somebody says, do I know you, to somebody they just answered a video call from. Like,
do I know you?
Always is wonderful when somebody's like, I have no idea who this is, but yeah, let's get on video together from this random person. I have no
totally fine.
That would probably get cut for being too argumentative, because people can do that, obviously.
Yeah, and it may work different on
stuff. Sure, and you know, Kirk may have just been like, let's have some fun. So you never know. And then the other thing I wanted to send was the point where she says, I would say your reputation precedes you, but it's actually the opposite. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What does that mean, Ian?
When was that?
She's talking to Kirk,
it's when,
right?
It's
so
the
like
Romulan.
she's saying right. You precede your reputation. Well, duh, that's how it usually works. That's why the saying exists, when somebody's reputation precedes them.
It's really strange.
Like, it's a time travel nod, isn't it?
I think
like your reputation,
because it's just
his reputation hasn't happened yet. I think is what she's getting at.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, I feel like she thought she said something really clever or funny there, and I'm not sure that she did.
This sounded a lot smarter in your head than when it was on paper.
And I really am thankful that we got this episode so that I could know that Captain Kirk likes poutine and knows that
poutine.
Lasers are real. You know, like the important stuff.
Exactly. Lasers.
Really, really funny stuff.
Lasers.
I do have one more thing I could say, and probably fit in this. I probably would write a sin about this. What is it in our current media culture where every single story is about going into a multiverse and having the decision as to whether or not you will change it or leave it the same? Everything is doing that right now.
I'm waiting for Scream. like Scream 7 or Scream 8 is going to be about multiverses, and they're going to like bring in Mike Myers, and someone's got to parody it at some point, because the 20s is just the decade of the multiverse. It really is.
It's wild, man. It's just like we've kind of like media has already dealt with these themes before, but we've done it just with straight time travel. But now, for some reason, it's like, ooh, multiverse is a fun new way to deal with the exact same thing we've been dealing with forever. So
TNG did it with Parallels, which is a great Worf episode. We've been doing this for a long time. Okay.
Remember when we got to watch Worf? Right.
We should just go back and carry on with
TNG. When we got to watch Strange New Worlds? That was fun, too.
That was fun.
That was nice.
Okay. Yeah, I was haunted the entire episode by Aaron saying, if we don't go to a Strange New World in this episode, I'm out. And I'm like, oh. We're on Earth.
Yeah. Amazing. Toronto.
Today. So I through the trailer, knew some stuff. I was pumped for this episode. And I think this is why it's hit me really hard. Mm. I was so excited for this time travel episode and sucked. So let's quickly go over your predictions from the beginning of the episode. Aaron, your big prediction was that they will go to another planet.
You did it.
Did I?
You did it, Aaron. We went to this planet.
You could not have been more specifically wrong.
Correct. Yes. It's the incredible. Opposite of my prediction happened.
And Groundhog Day, which it felt like it, but not for the reasons that the show wanted us right, to feel yes. like it. Danae, big prediction was a time loop. Sadly, no, although it felt, again, like it. Oddly specific, someone will stutter. I guess the whole episode felt like it stuttered, but I don't think there was a specific stutter. Okay, time for a very, very quick... Hey, was it in the trailer?
The line must be drawn here, this far, no farther.
You will die without honor.
Shut up, Wesley.
Get off my bridge.
This is the really quick segment where we ask, was it in the trailer? Have a guess. What was in the trailer from this episode? Ambassador.
I'm going to guess that it's when Kirk turns around and says, who are you and why are you on my bridge or whatever?
No, not in the trailer.
My modus operandi mm-hmm. is to name the thing that would be the worst possible thing to put in the trailer mm-hmm. and then get very angry when you say it was in the trailer.
I like it, yeah.
So I
when
always...
When he shot? Her wiping Khan's tears? Sorry.
I always come into this thinking there's no way this is in the trailer, and I really believe there's no way this was in the trailer. Child Khan.
Okay, Child Khan was not in the trailer.
Okay,
correct.
Good,
not
good.
Unless it was super frank.
Was it the kiss? Wasn't it?
Yeah, so there is some closeness that's in the trailer. Captain, so basically them appearing on present day Earth is in the trailer. So we know that there's a time travel episode. Kirk going through the revolving door and saying, I was born in space. I don't know how doors work, was in the trailer. The explosion, La'an and Kirk looking at the reflection of the explosion in the window was also in the trailer. So you can get some plot beats, but they did hold their load and did not show Khan in the trailer.
The chess game.
The hot dog.
Because that was the best part of this episode, right?
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, so podcast listeners, we continue on this journey together. Obviously, we never know how we're going to react to things as they just come out. Feel free to send us your thoughts, though. Like, this is obviously we've got the live chat that shares their thoughts, but we also want to know your thoughts too. And maybe you loved it and you think that we missed something really profound or we missed something that was really important. You know, make sure that you let us know. You can contact us on Twitter or Discord or email. That's all in the description of this podcast. Because sometimes they just don't hit, but that's not how everybody is going to react. So our opinions do not reflect everyone's opinions, and we're not trying to shit on the show. The show is trying to shit on us,
really,
and that's the difference.
We're just being honest.
Our highs will not mean as much if they aren't accompanied by the genuine lows. If we genuinely pretend like we love everything, it doesn't mean anything. So,
you'll be able to sniff it out. You'll know.
Exactly.
You'll know.
We did not have fun.
I cannot
fun.
Wait to get to my quote on this one, Captain.
Well,
because
with that, thank you for joining us this week for another mixed episode, but some wholesome discussion, I think.
She's going to steal my quote, by the way.
Next, not if I steal it first. We'll be back next week on YouTube Live and the CinemaSins Live Twitch channel at 12:30 CT for episode 4 of Strange New Worlds. Until then, I'm Captain Ian, and I shall endeavor to practice less vigorously.
And I'm pretty sure there's nothing for me to go back to.
And say hello to the very judgmental internet for me.
Oh, my. And live long in Potsdam.
Okay, but before you go, podcast listener, we're not actually live next week.
Oh, shit, we're not. Never mind.
This is something that the captain does all the fucking time.
I just read what's on the prompter in front of me.
Yeah. We're not going to be live next week, but you'll be able to catch the podcast in your podcast feed, just like normal. Okay, bye!
Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
Waiting in the stream yard, oh, I'm waiting for Ian and Danae. In the stream yard, where are they?
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
I wonder why okay.
I'm okay.
We gave you the week off. Think, come on.
I'm feeling something in my lungs.
Oh, I was going to go with like inadequate or like something... Something
I'm
emotional.
Feeling impotent, and Ian, I thought we could talk about that.
I have several sprays to help with that.
Sprays you have?
Yeah, some sprays that'll help you feel more.
I don't know what it says about you that you have several impotent sprays.
I have.
This is big information, Ian.
Yep, many friends in my life that require potency.
Yes, exactly.
Asking for a friend.
I woke up yesterday morning with the distinct feeling that I had aspirated something overnight.
Oh.
So like that something was in my lungs.
Oh my goodness.
Like that at some point I breathed through my mouth and like a spider got in or something. Who knows?
Yeah,
whatever.
You've applied it wrong.
So what?
You've applied the potency spray wrong. You're not supposed
Ian,
to get
I
your
don't
partner
even have
to
any.
Spray
what,
it.
That's such a stretch. That is such a stretch. Like according to the premise of the humor of the bit before, I didn't even have any. All day long, I had this feeling in my lungs that something needed to get out of there. And so I was like coughing and, you know, what do you call the thing? Like, is there a word for clearing your throat or do you have to literally say three words to say that?
Phlegming.
Phlegming? That could be an insult to the author of the Bond series, but...
That's his legacy. That's what he really wanted his legacy to be. Well, interestingly, historically, to hawk, H-A-W-K, also hawk, meant to clear the throat in the general sense. Now
yeah,
refers,
like hawk-a-loogie. Yeah,
exactly.
I've heard that.
Now it refers to gathering phlegm for spitting by a progressive closing of the tongue against the back of the throat. Stop. I will remove you from the show.
That was all fake.
Stop.
There was no phlegm involved in that.
Makes it worse.
I'm just a good sound effect person.
So while we have had two good, strong English one-syllable words to express that, they've both drifted into new roles. this is the most English thing I think I've ever read on the internet. In the present, I think ahem is the best verb that we've got.
Ahem?
Excuse me while I just ahem my throat.
Well, if you're going to say my throat, you might as well just say clear my throat. The idea is that we need a word that is briefer.
That's fair.
More brevity.
We verb ahem from
so
now on.
So yesterday I was doing a lot of coughing and ahemming. And
Could
that
you
doesn't
just
work.
Ahem
that doesn't
for
work.
Me? Just give me a good ahem.
Ahem. But not a hawk.
I'm out. Bye.
Danae has that when I do like the fake burps. Like it really like.
Wait, Danae sound. Gets offended when you burp?
When I'm false burping. I mean, technically it's a real burp, but I have to suck the air in.
Okay.
And that noise of sucking the air in like destroys her. Like and she cannot hear it.
It offends me as somebody with.
Who can't burp?
Yes.
You have erectile dysfunction.
That's why I have all of those lotions and sprays.
Well, then you should be spraying them in your throat.
No, that's how you get your problem.
All of a sudden, the uvula just stands up on end.
Imagine if that's what the little blue pill did to all of your phalanges.
Anything.
Just turn them all up, any of
any
the
dangly bit. Your earlobes just go just straight up. Do you know why I finished before you guys?
No.
Because I skipped the opening credits. That's how.
Oh, so did I, but I had to rewind a couple of times.
Oh, I see.
Just to get some get some facts in order.
You skip the opening credits? You skip the song? The song that speaks to your soul?
Because I knew you guys were going to, and I didn't want to be too far behind. You cynics!
There are very few shows that I wouldn't skip the opening credits for. One of them is The X-Files. I will jam to that tune every single
time. Yes. And also because they sometimes changed the trust no one at something else. I was always waiting for what it was going to be that week, even though they didn't change it that often.
Mm-hmm. How is the fish, Danae? I have a very expensive tomb, is the update.
The fish died this morning. Oh,
did it actually?
It died today. Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm going to be, Iris is going to get home.
You forced it to watch this episode of Strange New Worlds? I'm sorry.
As we discuss this, I have a tank that has a dead fish in it that I haven't fished out yet. And it's just.
Fished out.
That's sad.
It's been struggle bussing for the last, well, I mean, it's been a struggle since the start. Let's not go back in time and repeat the entire thing, but he's had some issues. I haven't known how to solve them. I got a little pH balance thingy and it was so complicated. I didn't even know what to do. I'm like, okay, so once I find out the pH balance, I don't even know what to do here. I don't know what I did, but I know that fish had a great week and a half. He did have a name. Iris named him Blubber and then renamed him to Koi Blubber, but insists that you also add fish at the end, which was its last name. This morning, I found the fish in a very precarious situation. I'll do my best to explain it to you. This fish tank has a waterfall feature. So the front lip on the top of the fish tank is cut out so that the water flows out over the front of it and down into an exterior basin. The lid sits down inside of the tank so that obviously nothing can flow out of the tank. However, I think Iris may have accidentally moved it back. So this morning I found the fish on the exterior part of the tank at the top of the water, just about to go over the top down the waterfall, plummeting into the thing below.
Just desperate to escape.
And he was just hanging out on his side like, fuck. So my assertion ops is zero now. I'm back to... Now, I don't know what the fuck to do with this fish tank now. And anyone
Sell
who tells me to
$7,000.
Get some more fish can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, you should not get more fish.
But
that's...
I'm like $200 sunk into this thing at this point.
Sunk.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to do something with it. Like maybe I donate it to her school.
I found a beautiful snake on the road yesterday. You could turn it into like a terrarium or something
Fuck you, Aaron.
To be fair, of the living things you have in the house, the important ones are still alive. The two dogs and Iris. That's a win.
Yes. And also myself, yes.
Ian, tell us about the philosophical math you do to determine a dog is more important than a fish.
Size.
No, fair enough.
Size.
I'm very
Size.
Important. I rank high on the value.
I was thinking this the other day, how like my mum is a great example of this, how we will kill flies, but she draws the line at spiders. Like spiders, she will not kill because they're
What about
cute,
spiders that are smaller than a fly?
If she doesn't know that it's a spider, then it's absolutely fine. But she draws the line at spiders. And the only distinction I can think of is size. There is a certain size where it becomes weird to kill something. That's all I can think of, genuinely.
Well, it becomes more difficult. So that's part of it.
It said, I've had that happen to mine, lying on the bottom for a few days, then it's fine.
Okay.
So I'm going to just...
Taking a nap.
I turn the filter off, so there is no like it is just a lit tomb at the minute.
If it wasn't dead, it is now.
Once it didn't move for a little bit, I completely removed all life systems. I was like...
Any
woman,
chance...
Woman, I was napping!
I've already purchased what I needed to make the water change easier in a couple of days. So I now have a board, like a plastic small like square board with caster wheels coming so that I can put the bucket, the really heavy fucking bucket on it and wheel it through the house.
Well, now you can do like a little funeral procession thing, really.
Now we're going to do that today when I mean, we have to bury this fish today. I hope she reacts well. Anyway,
out of life.
It's part of the whole process.
Fish literally lived exactly long enough for you to spend the maximum money possible.
It did.
And you're then not it kicked wrong. Off.
When are you going to show up these fucking new ships that you got? When are you going to show us the ships? When are you showing the ships?
Well, it was going to be today, but you guys had yesterday. But didn't you have Recotopia or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be next Thursday. That's when I want to do it.
We cannot trust anything that Ian says, guys.
Nice.
Go get one. Just get one.
Oh, hey. You know what? Since we don't have a live show on Friday, I'll do it Friday in this slot.
Ian, we'll still be recording the show.
We're just not going
live.
We
just can't go live because...
Wait, are we recording? I thought we were recording.
We're not going to be in our normal situation. Ian.
I know that, but I didn't know if we're recording. Are we recording at exactly the same time?
Everybody, once again, I'd like to point out that the captain does not know how to look at his calendar and be prepared for this part of the show.
I have a crew that can do that.
Ian, what's the answer?
Thursday at 1 p.m.
Oh, there
CT.
We go.
Okay.
All right. I like it.
Probably.
Oh, my God.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.